from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I remember when I was in Washington with the Cubs for the, I believe it was the 2018 playoffs. 2017. Thank you. The 2017 NLDS. And I remember looking up on the giant banners outside the stadium, celebrating the greatest moments in Nationals history. And I remember that the greatest moment to that point seemed to be a Jason Worth walk-off that won a playoff game.
Yep.
And I remember laughing derisively from the Cubs perspective and other people's perspective and likening it to the Washington Capitals, who had put a President's Trophy banner up at the hockey arena. Now you've won, and of course the hockey team has won. But can you identify and let us into what it's like? Because I remember the atmosphere in that series specifically. My goodness, the Bryce Harper home run off Carl Edwards Jr. I don't think I'd ever seen an angrier face than Theo Epstein in the manager's office after that game. But that arc, you were obviously there for the World Series win, and I want to get to that. But the life of a broadcaster when aligned with a team for as long as you've been, where there were more struggles than successes for so, so long.
Well, I mean, it was an interesting arc to that point. I mean, my first year in 2006 until 2012, you know, they had losing seasons every year, twice, 100 losses. So that was a pretty interesting indoctrination to big league broadcasting. How are you going to make a 100 loss team sound interesting? So that was a good learning experience. And it allowed Charlie and I to develop that chemistry, because if you were just broadcasting the game straight, it was not going to be a lot of fun. There wasn't much to go on. So that's when we took some chances, had some fun. We had Will Nieves was a backup catcher, this really cool walk-up music. So whenever he came to the plate, we'd have our engineer, Jack, you know, ride the level up. So we'd play his music in our broadcast, and it was a salsa tune. We'd stand up, we'd start dancing, and people would turn around and look up at us and videotape us dancing to Will Nieves' walk-up music. We tried everything, because there were some really bad teams. So you go from there to 2012, you know, you had those 100 loss teams leading to Steven Strasburg and his great moment for his debut, Bryce Harper. And all of a sudden in 2012, the team takes off. They go from under 500 to 98 wins, but you had the Strasburg shutdown. You mentioned the Worth home run. That came in Game 4 to force a deciding Game 5. The Nationals had a 6-0 lead in Game 5 and did not win. They were up 7-5 with 2 outs in the top of the 9th inning and did not win. It was soul crushing. 2014, the regular season ends on a Jordan Zimmermann no-hitter. They're cruising into the playoffs, the hottest team. They had 4 days off, totally lost their mojo, and lost a heartbreaking 4-game series to the Giants that included an 18-inning loss at home. And then 2016, lost a brutal Game 5 to the Dodgers. And then 2017, a crushing Game 5 loss to the Cubs, a Game 5 that went back and forth. They had the lead, fell behind. Jose Lobaton got picked off on a replay challenge in the 8th inning. Bryce Harper strikes out to end the game. I mean, every way imaginable, they had lost those deciding games all at home, which made 2019 all that much more special, because of all the scars this fan base had with every tough loss that I can recite to you.
Yes.
It all flipped in 2019, because every break they needed to go their way went their way, and it was a magical ride.
So tell me about some of those moments in 2019, and we'll go backwards after that. But when did you feel that weight shifting? Howie Kendrick grand slam against the Dodgers? Did you feel that weight sort of shifting with anticipation?
Well, the first one, I mean, and the Kendrick grand slam was fortunate to be in the 10th inning, my call. But the first one was the Soto hit off of Hader in the wild card game. You talk about the crowd. You know, if you put like a 0 to 10 on the decibel of a crowd, You know, the anticipation building, Soto against Hader, bases loaded down 3-1. When Soto gets the base hit to right, I put the crowd noise at a 10. When the ball was misplayed by Trent Grisham off his glove, it went to a 12. I don't know how Charlie belted out that call above the crowd. It was so magical. And the shot that gives me goosebumps, they put it in our, you know, the postseason highlight video, is after that error in the 3-run score, Soto runs into an out to get tagged out to end. So there's no next batter. I mean, it's immediately the inning is over, but you've scored 3 runs from down 3-1 to up 4-3. There are fans in the bleachers in left field literally throwing drinks in the air. It looks like it's raining. There's showers of beer and water. It looked like a rain shower. The fans were so joyous. So it was that moment, like, oh my God, we can win a game that matters. It was a deciding game in our ballpark, and it went that way. And wow. Daniel Hudson came on, closed the ninth inning, and that was their first time to celebrate an on-field success. Because it's funny, when they won 3 of their 4 division championships, and even when they clinched the wild card spot, it was clinched when another team won. The Cubs were playing the Pirates, and the Nationals beat the Phillies, and like 3 minutes later, Kyle Schwarber grounded out in Pittsburgh, and that clinched the wild card. So it's like they never really had the chance to celebrate actually winning something on their own. And that was the first chance to do that in that wild card game.
That's awesome. Tell me about the Kendrick Grand Slam from your perspective.
Well, I mean, that was a really special moment. And, you know, in that game, as they were in each elimination game, they were trailing. And the Dodgers brought in Clayton Kershaw. He struck out Adam Eaton in my inning, the 7th, to end it. He stays on for the 8th inning, and Anthony Rendon and Juan Soto hit back-to-back home runs off of Kershaw to tie the game. So the game goes through the 9th inning. Will Smith hits a fly ball to the warning track that looks like it's going to be a home run, but thick Dodger Stadium air. Adam Eaton catches it up against the wall. We go to extra innings. Joe Kelly is in there for the 2nd inning. There's a walk, a double, and they intentionally walk Juan Soto to get to Kendrick. And so this is my chance for the call of a lifetime. And when Kendrick hits the ball, I give it the big buildup. And because at the absolute worst, it's going to be a sack fly to put him in front because he crunched it. And then I catch Bellinger to the track, to the wall. You know, he leaps, and it's a grand slam. And the first thing that pops to my mind, and I was a Red Sox fan growing up, and I remember Joe Castiglione's Can You Believe It? When they won the 2004 World Series. So my take on was, do you believe it? Because as a Nationals fan, can this really be happening? Because when you hit that grand slam, you're up by 4 in the 10th, you're going to win. I mean, this is the moment that's going to put you over that you're going to break through that glass ceiling and get to the NLCS for the first time. So just an exhilarating moment.
Kelly's one strike pitch. Swinging a fly ball, center field deep. Bellinger going back to the warning track, to the wall. It's a grand slam. Howie Kendrick has done it. They're going crazy in the Nationals dugout. Howie Kendrick with a grand slam here in the 10th inning of Game 5. The Nationals 7, the Dodgers 3. Do you believe it?
And then on radio, you know, it's a road. The crowd goes deathly silent, which is really awesome. And then, you know, you can kind of hear this cheering. And I pick up the Nationals dugout, and they're pouring out of the dugout, jumping up and down. So describe that and finish the call. And that set up their first win in division series, which the last out of that game, you know, normally I don't get to do the last out because I do innings 3, 4, 6, and 7. Well, it's the 10th inning, my inning. So what are you going to say when they get that last out to finally win a division series? And it turns out Michael Taylor makes a spectacular diving catch to end the series. So it ends the series on a highlight film play. So there's nothing you can script. So you just run with that and kind of express the joy of the moment. So even though that it wasn't a hugely important play because it was a 4-run game, I'm proud of that call too, because, you know, you called the play, you know, made, you know, described the catch and what it meant. And finally they advanced to the NLCS.
And it's just so interesting, the happenstance of what you get to be there for. And you're there with Howie Kendrick for his memorable Game 7 home run in the World Series, yes?
Yeah, so that was Howie Part 2. L.A. was Part 1, Howie Kendrick Part 2, and I have actually referenced that in the call.
No balls and a strike. Outside target, Chirinos the pitch. Swinging a line drive, slice down the right field line toward the corner. Springer back, looking up, and this one is gone! It hits the foul pole, and the Nationals lead! Howie Kendrick has done it again! A slicing two-run homer off the right field foul pole. Do you believe it, Howie Kendrick? Part two. Nationals 3 and the Astros 2. They are jumping up and down to the Nationals dugout waiting to greet Howie Kendrick. As Howie Kendrick has provided his signature moment in the World Series.
The funny thing about that call, Matt, and this I love this podcast because we can dig deep into nerdy broadcaster stuff. And I'm going to.
We want to know. We want to know. Yes.
This call, the Howie Grand Slam's my favorite call, but I'm proud of this call for a few reasons. First, they bring in Will Harris, and Will Harris's best pitch is a cutter. So the cutter is going to go down and away. He's gotten Kendrick out on the cutter. So we kind of set that up ahead of time. And right before the pitch, I say outside target Chirinos. Chirinos is the catcher. So now I'm setting for the listener that the catcher's got his glove to the outside corner. So Harris throws the pitch to that part of the plate. Kendrick hits the ball in the air, swinging at a slicing drive to right. You know, I say slicing. So now as a listener, you're seeing the fly ball and you see the slice. Springer back looking up, and in my mind I'm going, at the fans going, oh my god, this is gonna be a home run. So it's Springer back looking up. As I say looking up, my voice rises, so it's almost like as a listener you're leaning forward and you see something good's about to happen, and then the baseball play-by-play gods reward me with the clank off the foul pole. So there's no doubt it's a home run. You don't have to wait for an umpire signal. Is it fair? Is it foul? Did a fan touch it? No, the ball hits the foul pole, so you can nail the call. There's nothing worse than that indecision of whether is it fair, is it foul? And the great part about it was just the visiting radio booth in Houston is down the first baseline. Because it was the World Series, we were down the third baseline slightly. So I had the perfect vantage point of ball, Springer, and foul pole all in line. So, I mean, you couldn't have asked for a better setup to just describe what happened and nail the call. If I was in the visiting radio booth normally, that ball would have looked foul to me. I wouldn't have had the same buildup and anticipation when the ball's hit because you're thinking it's going to go foul. The booth that Joe Buck was in, it looks like it's going to be a foul ball. But I was in the perfect spot to see it all unfold and hopefully deliver it so the listener could feel the anticipation with me as the ball's slicing toward the foul pole, but it's going to stay fair and it hits the foul pole.
Yeah, I love that. I love all of that. But the cutter and the outside target and the fact that the ball goes down the right field line, of course, because Howie Kendrick and his legacy is those moments. But we know him as a really good hitter who went where the ball was pitched, happy to go the opposite way. You know, so there's a lot of just his DNA as a ball player right there in the call and in the moment.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.